America is in the midst of a year-long series of celebrations for the country's 250th anniversary. These celebrations are taking a variety of forms, including a local walkthrough of historical Florida fashion. Tom Flanagan sits down with the organizers behind the upcoming Threads Through Time event hosted by the Wakulla County Historical Society.
Tom, it's America's 250th year-long birthday party.
Oh my gosh, I never realized that. But I guess if we looked around enough, Gina, we could have kind of figured that out. I mean, you got a lot of people that are gathered around the old log cabin in Cascades Park, which is supposedly only 200 years old. So, but then we had out at Goodwood Museum and Gardens, there was a big ceremony here just a couple months ago, people coming out and playing colonial founding of Florida back in the day before we were even a territory, and all kinds of fun stuff. So, yeah, I guess it is a big anniversary celebration, huh?
It is. This is some cool music here. This is from WFSU Music and the Arts, which aired last April with the FSU Wind Ensemble performing at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Gina, with all these celebrations we've been talking about here, state and local and, of course, national and all, a whole bunch of forms of these observances are taking place during this 250th anniversary year, and lots of the traditional pomp and circumstance and even some John Philip Sousa tunes are being kind of snuck into the proceedings here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always fun to hear the music. We also have a lot of offbeat stuff happening. Like, I don't know if you heard about this themed golf trail. So this is a tribute to Florida's status as the 14th colony during the Revolutionary War. And Governor Ron DeSantis launched this trail featuring historic courses across the state. And these courses fly commemorative America 250 flags on the 14th hole.
And I can just see the caddies running around in, you know, breech coats and tri-corner hats and things like that. That would be kind of cool.
Well, it would be hot, though.
Well, yeah, that's right. And most of the garb back then was wool, leave us not forget. That was kind of toasty.
Bless them. Also, did you hear about these patriotic mermaid shows? Those were happening at the Weekiwachi Springs State Park. And they integrated these patriotic routines and historical storytelling into these legendary underwater mermaid performances, which I would love to see someday.
That would be totally awesome. Yeah, that was a couple years ago, I think, the historic state capitol here in Tallahassee had a total tribute to the mermaids down at Weekiwachi. And it was one of the original ones from the 1950s even showed up.
Yeah.
And it was my understanding she could still get into her costume. I don't know how that works.
But I don't either. And there's some other stuff. I thought this was really cool. This sounded like it was right up your alley. This Wheels and Wings America 250 car show. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Even though cars, remember, only dated from what? 1888, I think, was the very first gasoline-powered car, and that was like in France. So that doesn't even qualify, you know, for America's 250th. But you also had, as I remember, because I am such a freak when it comes to airplanes and aeronautics and that thing, out at the Eglin Air Force Base Armament Museum. That's the one with an entire B-52 that sits out in front of the museum.
Yeah.
And if you stand underneath it when it's a breezy day, you can actually see the wings move up and down. It's like it's going to take flight at any moment. The thing is awesome.
That's neat.
I think that combined American automotive history with military aerospace, too. So there's a connection there.
Yeah. Another thing that some folks may have seen is that the state is putting up lots of statues of either our founding fathers or presidents or the like, and they're going up in counties matching their names. So George Washington in Washington County, Benjamin Franklin in Franklin County. And last week, Governor DeSantis hosted the unveiling of Lady Columbia in Columbia County.
Wow. Now that is really nice.
Okay, so the Lady Columbia statue, Gina, stands on that pedestal in Lake City to the east of us, and it depicts some of Florida's iconic symbols and historic events and all that.
Yeah, so like I said, they have been doing this around the state, lots of statues going up. And here's some more from Governor DeSantis about this particular statue.
Lady Columbia is a symbol of the United States, of our American pioneer spirit. Of course, she's derived from Christopher Columbus, who was in 1492, the first European discovery of the New World. Columbus didn't quite make it to Florida. He made it to the Bahamas, but subsequent voyages ended up with the European discovery of North America in Florida. And so we were discovered by Europeans before Jamestown, Virginia, and before Plymouth, Massachusetts. You could go to St. Augustine, and that's the oldest continuously operating European city in the United States of America. And so we're proud of that part of Florida history. So it's Columbia being born out of the spirit of Christopher Columbus and doing that, but she's had a huge part in America folklore.
So, Tom, as we consider the many ways that America's 250th is being acknowledged, you have another more offbeat tribute to tell us about?
Well, not so much offbeat, Gina, because as the old saw goes, clothes make the man, also the woman, and when you get back into the colonial times, 250 years ago, people dressed very differently, as we said a few moments ago, than they do today. A lot more wool, a lot more linen, you know, pure fabric, if you will.
A lot more covering.
Yeah, a lot less polyester, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So I sat down with a table full of folks who are part of a special event happening later this month, and it is about historic fashion.
Ew, all right, let's listen to that conversation.
The Threads Through Time event. That is a cryptic title for sure, and we want to delve more into it, what its significance is, and primarily what the heck it means. So we have an entire panel of folks here to provide that insight and that background and that advance information on what the event is going to entail. And we welcome first to the microphone Andrea Carter.
Yes. Thank you, Tom. We're very pleased to be here with our partners making this event possible. The Historical Society in Wakulla County decided we wanted to extend the celebration of America 250, and that one way to do it might be through clothing. And so we are sponsoring on September 12th a historic clothing fashion show. And we couldn't do it without the partners who are here, because they provide clothing that is not in anyone's closet in Wakulla County. Theater with the Mission, Goodwood Museum, and the U.S. Colored Troops all are in the business of reenacting of history in costume, in period dress. And so they and members of our own community have managed to put together about 30 entries of historic clothing that we're eager to share with the public.
Now, this is going to, Andrea, kind of cover the entire 250-year span?
It's going to cover 15,000 years of history, Tom, because we're beginning with our indigenous peoples in Florida. The Miccosukee tribe will be joining us.
That is fantastic, particularly since that is now a really fundamental part of our history that we have peeled back the onion layers of recently, to the extent that I think it was wonderful that even when the city of Tallahassee had its commemoration, that there was a very intentional effort made to include indigenous people's history into the entire celebration, since this was not unspoiled wilderness when folks arrived. You know, that was something that maybe some of us might have learned in school, but it was erroneous. This was a thriving community of people when even Hernando de Soto came plowing through in 1539. This was a big town.
Very sophisticated systems of agriculture and trade throughout all the Americas. We know that our indigenous peoples were weavers and farmers. And so, yes, they're certainly a part of our history in a major way.
We'll talk to some of the other partners here. And I want to start here at the other end of the table here, where we have both Ivy Coddington and Ben Gunter from Theater with a Mission, because every time there is some kind of historical enactment in the area, these guys are probably connected in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And Ben, I've never seen you out of costume here. I didn't recognize you when you came walking up the road here in front of the station here. And I thought, oh my God, okay, I recognize the hat now, but everything else was, I just couldn't figure out who it was. How many costumes do you guys have for all the reenactments that you have done and what you're contributing here to the overall observance here?
Let me talk about our costumes collection in terms of periods, because we really enjoy reenacting French Florida, 1564 to 1565, a pivotal turning point in Florida's history just before St. Augustine was founded. As a matter of fact, the reason St. Augustine was founded. So we have some costumes that come in that period. We've got other costumes that fall into the Spanish Mission period, Florida settlement, when Mission San Luis was really active from 1650s to 1704. Thanks to Tallahassee's and Leon County's bicentennial, we've got a lot of costumes that belong into that fall into the 1820s period. Thanks to America 250, we've now got a lot of costumes that fall into the 1770s. So those are the kinds of periods that our costumes fall into. And we really enjoy putting on the costume and letting the costumes help us to tell the story of the characters.
There's another aspect of our history that has been, I think, newly concentrated on after many, many years of being not only marginalized, but essentially forgotten. Robert Manning, you're joining us here from the infantry, the second colored infantry
yes.
Troops here. And particularly around Emancipation Day, you folks are everywhere and providing that immersive experience when people come and think, oh my gosh, we didn't even realize mm-hmm. that such a thing was even existing. And that was, without the infantry, there would probably have been no real Emancipation Day right. in Tallahassee on May 20th of 1865.
Yes, sir. That's one reason I joined the reenactment crew, because a lot of folks wasn't aware that the battle that was fought at Natural Bridge was fought by colored troops, you know, and getting that history out, I wanted to make sure I can get it to all the kids, because, some of the adults didn't even know. So that was part of the reasoning that I wanted to participate. I love history, one thing, and then not just history, I want true history. So that's the whole idea of why I was so excited. And also I drew my wife into reenacting.
Oh, my gosh. Kian Manning, you are part of this now, too. So what are your costumes like? What kind of garments do you have to lend more credibility to these events?
Well, I have an actual costume, just an everyday costume. And the ladies that have been with the troop taught me how to use the apron for so many, you know, purposes. I mean, regularly in April, you're just trying to keep things off your clothing. But they used it as a bag to, you know, to gather their groceries or to, you know, wipe them off or whatever. They used it for so many reasons. But the experience that I had with at the abolition ball with the ball dress.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And the hoop skirt. I was just telling the ladies that hoop skirt whipped me up so badly because I didn't know how to sit with it. You know, I could walk with it, but I didn't know how to sit down with it. But the experience of actually putting on that garment and feeling as if it's almost as if that spirit comes back. Because you look in the mirror and you don't really see yourself, but you see the history of what the garment really means, and the pride when they wore it and how they wore it. And I mean, right down to the jewelry, there's certain jewelry that they didn't have, you know, and there's certain things that they didn't have, but they made do with what they had, and they were beautiful. So I think my experience with the gown is probably one of the biggest experiences that I've had. I'm still working with that hoop skirt thing. So
it's a challenge.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge.
Okay, Miss Andrea.
I think the Mannings have just explained how much more alive history becomes when you see people in period dress and reenactors that Theater with the Mission provides in a way that most of us didn't ever experience history. And I would just like to point out that the colored troops were a significant factor in the victory of the Americans during the Revolutionary War. There were, and during the Union and the Civil War, there were 158,000 black troops during the Civil War. And that was a significant contribution to the manpower of the Union.
The other thing that astounds me, though, about the period costuming when it comes to the infantry, it was wool.
Yes. Yes.
We are in Florida. Yes. There is a disconnect here somewhere. So, Robert, what's it like to be in, you know, 90-degree heat, 100% humidity, and you guys are buttoned up in wool great coats and all of that? It has to be torture.
I tell you, it gives you a better appreciation because, you know, the second infantry was actually formed in Virginia, you know, and, okay, that's north. You know, light humidity. So once they came to Florida, you know, and I got to participate in one of the reenactments. And the first time, first of all, what astounded me was how they got those cannons from Newport all the way to Woodville. You know, like you said, they were trudging through wood, you know, pushing these cannons. And then once, you know, they got here, and I participated, and I had to run out. You know, you fire your weapon, then they say retreat, and you go back. Well, I did that about five turns, and then once we're in the back, and the guy said, at this time, someone going to need to die, you know. I said, I will. I could not fathom, you know, this guy's first time down here, and then in this Florida heat, and then you're running around in wool. And something else I discovered also, because now part of the reenactment, you know, you buy your own uniforms and all, was the little brogans that they had. I discovered that when they originally made, brogan just made one shoe. Wasn't a left shoe or a right shoe. They made one shoe. So then you had to kind of mold it with your own feet. So I'm thinking about, man, that had to be horrible, I'm telling you. But it was just amazing, you know. It gave me a better appreciation to what those guys or what those people went through and the passion they had to have for the cause in which they were fighting.
Talk about making marching an adventure, huh?
Yes.
Well, you know, right here in our area, though, one of the most immersive places that you can think of is Goodwood Museum and Gardens. And Catherine Hagel, it is so wonderful to have you here to join us,
too.
One of the best collections, of course, when it comes to not only the artifacts within the main house and the surrounding ancillary buildings, but the costumes that are extant here at Goodwood are phenomenal. So what are you folks bringing to this big party on September 12th?
Well, first of all, they're not costumes. They're actual clothing that people wore, okay? What they're using, we don't really have that much clothing that predates 1880s because these were residences. People lived in these homes, and when people move, they take their clothes with them. And the new people who come into the home, they're not going to keep other people's clothing. So we really don't have that much. We don't have any of the antebellum clothing, which unfortunately we couldn't give to them. But we have what we really have mostly dates from around 1910 through 1990. That was when Tom Hood, who was the last resident of the place, died. And the Conservancy took over to create what we now have at Goodwood.
How do you care for the pre-synthetic
fabric garments. That's what I'm wondering about. We kind of know about woolite, you know, Robert. That'll take care of some of those uniforms there. But in the days before polyester and the other synthetic fabrics, you know, you're dealing with cottons and linens and that sort of thing.
And cottons and linens are very resilient if they're properly cared for originally. And that's another reason that we don't have a lot, because they deteriorate if they're not cleaned and stored properly. They're going to just the fabrics just dissipate, okay? We have everything stored in acid-free boxes with acid-free paper around them, and I take them out periodically just to shake them out. And I'm right now recataloging everything and reboxing everything, because we do use them. We put them on mannequins, and we put them out for displays. And a lot of times you're in a hurry, you put them back together, stick them in the box, you know, and I'm just adamant about, let's not do that. let's get the paper around them, let's get them organized so that we know what goes in what box and stuff. And putting them on the mannequins, it's interesting because the clothing was a lot smaller back then than the mannequins are today, which, especially the women's clothing, because they wore those corsets. And the little waistlines are so small, but the mannequins we have are more modern mannequins for more modern body shapes. So it's a challenge sometimes getting those older pieces onto the mannequins.
Yes, we are bigger people than we used to be.
That's
for sure. Yeah.
But they, for the longest time, those clothes were just kept in the boxes. And when I got there 3 years ago, I started as a docent and then got more involved into the clothing. And I have a very big background in clothing and textiles. So they started kind of asking me to help out. And now I'm pretty much doing most of it. And I love it, getting all these clothes out and seeing all the different periods. And I like to put jewelry on with them, which they didn't before, and put them in the rooms and display them instead of just keeping them in the boxes for occasional display. Let's display them all the time. So we're doing that more often. And it does, like they say, it's life into the room. You walk into a room with a mannequin that has clothing and jewelry on, and like you can see the life that went on in that room, not just the furniture, just the artifacts or the art, but the actual, you feel like you're in there with people. And so if you put the clothing in the different rooms, like we have a lot of Major Tom Hood's clothing, the military clothing, we put those into the man's parlor, because during World War II, Goodwood had a lot of soldiers that actually lived on the premises, the officers. So, you know, stuff like that.
I want to find out, though, and Ivy, if we could kind of blend you into the conversation here. What do these older styles, these fashions of clothing, say about the people who wore them? Because from our modern perspective, where everything is just so loosey-goosey and casual and all that, we look at these clothes and, this is like formal wear. Yeah, you're going to a presidential ball or something like that. Were people really that uptight and kind of non-casual back then? Or were they pretty much the same as we are today?
From what I understand, even on the frontier, women put a little corset on. They wouldn't lace it tight. They just have it because it supports your back. And so there was a little corset on underneath that dress. No, she's not wearing hoops. She's probably wearing one petticoat. Before they made up hoops, the fashion was getting fluffier and fluffier. Women had 10 petticoats on. Mm-hmm. And the hoop was like, oh, thank goodness there's air under there. So, you know, people dressed. You wouldn't go, have you met those little ladies who say, I never go out without my gloves? Well, that was it. Society of every kind had women going out with gloves. And, you know, if your glove got ruined, this was tragic if you don't have much money. So,
by the same token, this was accepted and these people did not look upon themselves as being so straight-laced and uptight and all. Andrea, what do you think?
Well, I think we have to consider, too, how historical events influence our clothing. A good example being when women got the vote in 1920. we suddenly saw the flapper dress. Mm-hmm. That dress is just a straight piece of fabric. Hemlines came up, shoulders were bared, women's arms, they were loose and free to go. Mm-hmm. And because that's how they felt.
And
they felt free.
Gillette made the first woman's razor for women to shave their armpits, because until then there was nothing, never, that had something that wasn't a sleeve for women. And all of a sudden there's flapper dresses and it's like, oh. So Gillette made women's razors and advertised them like crazy.
My stars and garters. This is why, this is scandalous, I tell you. Folks, in the few moments that we have remaining, what exactly is going to be taking place here on September 12th, and how can people find out more? Andrea?
They can find out more on the Wakulla County Historical Society's website, wakullahistory.org, where we're selling tickets for guests. Our models are admitted free. We will also be serving an English tea, with tea sandwiches, scones, and all kinds of teas, of course. But they will hear short narrations of American history, followed by fashions worn by real people during the time, as well as a lovely exhibit from Goodwood and from other sources that we've been able to piece together. The Riley House has donated a dress which was sewn by one of our Wakulla County residents. So I think it'll be a lovely review of American history through the clothing that Americans wore.
The Threads Through Time event coming up on September 12th, and we've been finding out in advance exactly what's going on, what it all means, and it sounds like a heck of a lot of fun and a great, enjoyable way to be exposed to history.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We hope so.
Thank you guys for coming. Kean Manning, Andrea Carter, Catherine Hagel, Robert Manning, Ivy Connington, Ben Gunter, thank you all for being part of Tom About Town. We appreciate it. We'll be right back.